Today, we'd like to see the title of Isaac in the land of Moriah in Genesis chapters 22 and 23. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 22, verse 2, then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering at one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abram returned to his young man. They rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abram dwelt at Beersheba. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 3, in chapter 23, verses 19-20. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abram by the sons of Heth as a property for burial place. What did Abram possess in the context, and what else would Abram possess in Scripture? And who would possess the things which Abram once possessed? And what can we learn from here? In the last time, Genesis chapter 21, verse 31-34, therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rode with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abram planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and they called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abram stayed in the land of Philistines many days. Beersheba means the well of oath. Beersheba was far the south city of Israel, described the boundaries of Israel as from Dan to Beersheba. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11. Abram stayed in Beersheba many days. Here, the map there, Beersheba, then Hebron there, then Shechem in Israel. So that's related cities to today's lesson. Chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, Abram, when Isaac was like 25 years old, after his weaning, God tested Abram to strengthen his obedience and build his character, just as fire purifies oil to reveal precious metals. In the same way, God refines individuals through challenging circumstances. Verse 2, then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Question 1, love first appears in the Old Testament in Genesis here, chapter 22, verse 2. In the New Testament, Testament is first stated as my beloved son in Matthew 3:17, Synoptic Gospel Luke 3:22, and in John it first appeared in John 3:16. God did not acknowledge Ishmael because he was a product of a human effort, not the work of the Spirit. This mirrors a current witness in the church attempting to do the work of the flesh ability rather than the work of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, our works will be tested by fire before God. Only the work of the Spirit endures the fire test. The land of Moriah, believed to be the area of Jerusalem, including Mount Moriah and Golgotha, was about 30 miles or 50 kilometers from Abraham's home in Beersheba. This distance typically required a 3-day journey, given an average walking pace of 10 miles, 17 kilometers per day. Cross reference right there. Verse 3, so Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Abram's 30-mile journey, or 50-kilometer journey, to Mount Moriah near Jerusalem followed years of difficult lessons about obeying God. Disobedience often demands sacrificing our desires and should not be expected to be easy. Verse 4, then on the third day Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. For 3 days of travel, Abraham considered Isaac as dead, yet he believed in resurrection. He obeyed God's command to sacrifice Isaac, knowing the seed had to come through him, which implied Isaac's resurrection, like Jesus, although he did not know how God would work. The cross reference there, verse 5. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here, that is, servant, with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Here the lad was Isaac, and worship is first mentioned in the Bible, meaning to bow down or submit one's will to God. Although we sing praise to God and lift our hands, Abraham's use of will go and will come back plural showed his faith in God's promise that Isaac, his seed, would return despite the command to sacrifice him. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of a burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Isaac, carrying the wood for his sacrifice on Mount of Moriah, foreshadowed Jesus bearing his cross towards Golgotha. Verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, not to endorse human sacrifice, which he prohibited, God prohibited, but to test Abraham's ultimate devotion. This test aimed to deepen Abraham's character and commitment to God's timing, ultimately strengthening his faith, obedience, and revealing God's providence. That's cross-reference here. Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. God will provide for himself the lamb became God would provide himself a lamb, which he is remarkably fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This means God himself, as the Lamb of God in John chapter 1:29, would become the ultimate sacrifice for sin, as seen in 1 Peter chapter 1:18-19, not merely redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac the young man, though strong enough to resist, willingly submit to his father's binding, mirroring Jesus' submission to death on the cross. The cross reference there. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Abraham believed that God would resurrect Isaac, trusting the promise that his lineage would continually be blessed through Isaac coming from his own body, despite not knowing how. Verse 11, 12, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac demonstrated his faith. When we give God what he asked, he rewards with blessings and spiritual benefits that far exceed our sacrifice and thoughts. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thickest by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. The ram's substitution for Isaac prefigured Christ's sacrifice for humanity. God intervened to spare Isaac, but he did not spare Jesus, his own son, from the cross. Jesus' death ensured humanity's salvation. All cross reference there. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the Mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Mount Moriah, now known as the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, is where Abraham built his ark. This same location later showed the fulfillment of Abraham's prophecy. God would provide himself the lamb through the sacrifice of God's own son, Jesus. 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, have not withheld your son, your only son. The angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ called as Christology. 16, and said, by myself I have shown, says the Lord, because you have done these things and have not withheld your son, your only son. When swearing an oath, one invokes a great authority, since nothing is greater than God. He swears by himself. Verse 17, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. God blessed Abraham as well as his descendants against the enemies. Verse 18-19, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young man And they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abram dwelt in Beersheba. Abram's faithful obedience brought abundant blessings, meant to overflow to others, not just for his own enjoyment. We are beneficiary of his obedience, blessed through Jesus, who came from Abram's lineage. Abram's foreshadows God the Father, and Isaac prefigures Jesus Christ. Sarah represents Israel, called and espoused by God. The sacrifice of Isaac on the Mount of Moriah foreshadows God's sacrifice of his son. Jesus for our sins on the same mountain 2,000 years later. After his sacrifice and ascension, Jesus, like Isaac, is not explicit sin until his servant, the Holy Spirit, gathers his bride or the church to him. 20 up to 24 is Abraham is married and reside there. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, indeed Milcah also has become children of your brother Nahor, who's his firstborn Buzah, his brother, commenced the father of Abraham, Jesus, Hazor, Bildad, Childad, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. His concubine, whose name was Ruma, also bore Tekah, Karma, Temsa, and Makah. Chapter 23, verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died at 127 years old. The time between her death, Genesis 23, and the sacrifice in Isaac, Genesis 22, is not specified. But Isaac was certainly older than 25 at the time of her passing. Verse 2. So Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abram came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abram, who came to mourn, likely absent from Hebron while shepherding in the field, returned to mourn Sarah. 3 and 4. Then Abram stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for burial place among you, that I may bury my death out of my sight. In Abram's time, deaths and burial were highly ritualized, with improper burial seen as a curse. Mourning was vital, and bodies were typically buried the same day due to the warm climate, as there were no funeral homes or undertakers. 5 to 6. And the sons of Heth answered Abram, saying to him, hear us, my lord, you are mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Abraham's excellent reputation was evident when strangers readily offered him a burial place for Sarah. This demonstrates that investing time and resources in serving God often leads to respect and good standing within the community. 7 to 8. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the son of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, if it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephraim, the son of Jopher, for me. Abram cast the sons of Heth to meditate his transaction with Ephraim, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price as a property for burial place among you. Now Ephraim to dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephraim the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, "No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead." Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephraim in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, "If you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there." And Ephraim answered Abraham, saying to him, "My lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead." And Abraham listened to Ephraim, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephraim, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchant. Ephraim engaged in a typical polite negotiation. Ephraim initially offered his land for free, but Abraham insisted on paying. Ephraim then stated the price of 400 silver shekels, which Abraham paid. 1780, so the field of Ephraim, which was Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth before all who went in at the gate of his city. At the present day, you can go to Hebron, to the place of the cave, Machpelah. Abraham possessed it. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as a property for burial place. Sons of Heth like escrow function. See above the map, Abraham acquired a burial site in Hebron. However, the Bible also mentions his purchase of land in Shechem, Book of Acts 7:16. His grandson Jacob later bought the same plot in Shechem, Genesis 33:19, suggesting the original ownership may have transferred or been sold by Abraham to another descendant. There was no record of a chain of the lot ownership in Shechem in Scripture, but full understanding will be revealed in heaven, given the vastness of unrecorded thing in Scripture. So we cover the all Scripture today's lesson. So you may see continually the prayer request, especially PTA, Pastoral Training of Asia. So last Tuesday, we received a mission for the continuing keep on prayer for Asians area is basically Vietnam and Burma, you know, Laos, Thai, and Philippines, you know, and so on. So, let's sing all together Maranatha song at the brochure.